I have so many questions as a dad, the children's stuff you guys have done, the bridge between narrative and devotional, all these different things I'm super intrigued by. But before we get into that, I want to hear a little bit about your story and specifically how you got into doing all of this and the writing and the heart for the devotional and the deeper study. How did this come about for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was already writing and teaching Bible study. And so when we did the show and we finished the first four episodes, and then there was this little growing fan base, everybody was begging for the next drop of episodes. And Dallas thought, he's like, you know, we could be giving them some stuff in between. Mm-hmm. And it just made sense that my heart's for discipleship, and I'm a Bible study teacher and a writer. So it just really was a simple dovetail of all those things.
It's just seamless for you mm-hmm. to take that heart for you already doing with discipleship.
Yeah, was already kind of doing it. Just started doing it with under the Chosen name.
Yeah. So. How is it leveraging narrative and creative and something that captures imagination like the Chosen does into, now let's go and do life together and do discipleship and devotionals? Is that a tricky task for you?
I don't think it's tricky. Really early on, we believed that the studies were not a supplement to the show.
That's right.
That the show was a supplement to the studies, because the show is largely historical fiction.
That's
I
right.
know people don't love it when we say it that way.
I love
but it isn't actually the Bible. And these conversations over breakfast, we don't actually know what they said. And so all these things that the guys are creatively filling in, that is very grounded in biblical truth, mm-hmm. is not actual biblical truth. And so to me, it was, we're launching people's interest to go deeper in scripture. And so let's go deeper into scripture. And scripture's enough. And so there in our Bible studies, we use script excerpts to kind of introduce the topic, and excerpts at the end to close it out. But that's kind of it. And I've had a little bit of feedback every now and again of people saying, we want to study the show. And I'll be like, that's not a thing. So at least it's not a thing we're going to be making. So,
but have you played with the idea, you said using the scripts, right, of kind of some of the creative liberties that are taken in the historical fiction realm and kind of pulling those back into biblical principles? Or is it kind of we're going to go stick to the scriptures?
Yeah, we're a little like exegesis about it all. Like I work with my Bible professor from college, the one who trained Dallas and myself. And so we take the subject matter. So how it works is Dallas will give me like a chronology. He said in season four, we're going to cover from this to this, don't exceed it, mm-hmm. and go. Mm-hmm. And so in devotionals, we'll write in between those, the chronology. Mm-hmm. In the studies, we'll decide, okay, what passage of scripture are we going to study alongside this season? Mm-hmm. And that's usually more topical. So mm-hmm. for season four, the study that's going to be coming out, and this is as much of a spoiler as I could give, but the study is about suffering, but not suffering per se. It's how the goodness of the Lord eclipses our suffering. Mm-hmm. And so that's topical based on the season, but no, we're not taking scenes or moments and then extrapolating on that.
Yeah. That's really cool, because I think the people's expectation is this should be following the Bible verse for verse. And you guys are from the very first prompt that I've seen. It's like, hey, go read the Bible for yourself.
That's right? The Bible.
Go. This should inspire you to go read the Bible. We are not the Bible, right?
Yep.
But it is beautiful that there's actually resources being provided to take people even deeper in the Bible. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And it is very much the way that we as a company talk and communicate. And so there's a chosen feel and vibe to all of our stuff.
Right.
But what's on the screen in the show is its own piece.
Right.
And then, you know, Dallas really felt like his ministry was very clarified in the first season, episode four, at the Miracle of the Fish, where, and he's told this story, but where Jesus is telling the parable of gathering fish, catching fish, and you separate the good from the bad. And he's telling Peter, Simon at the time, I want you to gather people, and I'll sort them out. And Dallas was like, that's what I'm doing with my life. I am gathering people. Mm-hmm. It's not my job to separate denominations, mm-hmm. which a lot of people want us to do.
Yep.
It's not my job to separate culture or political issue or whatever it is. It's just my job to gather people and tell them about Jesus. I really felt like I'm standing behind him, and that God was like, and you're going to disciple the ones who stay.
Come on.
And so we just, to me, it's always been really clear. It's that's discipleship is different than being a creative filmmaker, which I'm not. So I don't even mess with that, because that's not what I do.
Well, but again, the beautiful part is just those two sides coming together, where historically in the church, and I use that phrase loosely, within the last 100 years of the evangelical church, the creatives kind of feel shunned, and the pastors and the shepherds and they don't really understand us. And from the discipleship shepherding standpoint, they're looking over at the creatives like, you guys are just emotional and unhinged. What's going on, right? And so it's awesome to see it come together, because I've always envisioned art to be a vehicle to do that.
Yes.
Right?
Like, oh yeah.
Jesus spoke in parables, and then he took the disciples privately and went deeper with them. And that's literally what you guys are doing through this, which is beautiful.
Right. And there's something, I mean, making the Bible come to life on the screen is, it's such a gift, and it's a gift to me, and it's a gift to Dallas. Mm-hmm. You know, it's coming alive in a new way. It's making us want to go dig back into the Bible. And when that was our instinct, like I'm seeing this scene, and now I want to go read that again. I'm like, oh, that's a thing.
Yep.
Like, it's happening to us.
Yep.
So no doubt it's happening to other people. So
yeah,
it was pretty natural.
Share macro. What is your heart ultimately? We're on season 4, about to launch season 4. Season 7, when this is all said and done, like, what do you, when people think back about your contribution with this amazing material, what is your heart, what is your vision for this ultimately?
I want to be known for having stewarded it well.
Mm.
Like, that's all I want. It's not our thing, but it's been given to us for a minute to kind of hold and shepherd, and I just want to have done that well all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want Dallas to mess it up. And so we say that to each other, and we pray and stay on our faces about that, because we just don't want to mess it up.
Yeah. Amen. That's so beautiful. Okay. Yeah, you guys could totally clap for that. I love your heart. I'm a father of an 8-year-old and a 2-year-old, and more and more parents are starting to be homeschoolers and teachers in their own right, and taking kids through the scriptures, and me and my son my son's name is Levi, so he's like, I want to read the book of Leviticus, and I'm like,
wow.
I don't know if you want to read the book of Leviticus, but
I still want you to love the Bible, let's wait on that.
So we jump around between like Leviticus, and I'm trying to take him through Romans right now, verse by verse through Romans, which is super fun. And I think the kids side is really cool, to have books and things to give to parents to walk through kids, right? Walk their kids through stuff. Can you share your heart a little bit about that in terms of the next generation and the kiddos that are coming up?
That has really emerged in the coolest way, and just seeing the show itself appeal to children, which was a shock to us, because it's just so complex and the languages are so, or the accents are so heavy. I just don't even understand how kids enjoy it, but they by and large do. And also, I feel like our culture is such a mess that as a parent, you know, you do want tools, and I'm looking for stuff to give to my kids, and we span from 22 down to 16, but we've been parenting for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the children's devotional, which is 8 to 12, and which is, when we looked at the market, there's just nothing even for that age group.
Yes.
And so we're like, because it's really hard, by the way. Once we started doing it, we're like, oh, this is why, because this is really hard. 8-year-olds are different from 9-year-olds or different from 10-year-olds. So it's like,
well, an 8-ish, they're starting to ask the hard questions.
Yeah.
My son is asking about the Trinity.
You know? So that was a super fun exercise for us for a year, was to take, we actually took, and loosely based on our adult devotionals, which are hard concepts, and then spoke to between 8 and 12 year olds. And I loved it. I ended up loving it. It was challenging, but I loved it. And it pretty much set us a bit on fire for discipling these younger kids. And so now we have a teen study also coming out in 2024 where we're just trying to go, let's talk about the hard things. Let's say all the identity things, all the, you know, cultural things where we're all getting stuck. And so our heart has really turned toward the kids.
Yeah.
As God leads, you know, that's not going to become the ministry, but man, we're giving a lot of time to it.
That's so cool. Yeah, you guys could definitely clap for that. And so as season four is on the horizon, obviously seven seasons, can you give us any more spoiler alerts about where you're just taking the devotional through? Besides, you said suffering, but can you go a little deeper on that at all?
No.
I'm trying, guys. I'm trying to get the exclusive for you as well as for my YouTube channel. Okay?
I'm the worst person to ask because I am the one who will catch the most fire. You know, like if I mess this up, I'll get in more trouble than any of
you. Fair enough. Okay. Walk me through your creative process in terms of putting these together. I know you said you work with a scholar, and I'm assuming there's other people involved. So what is the creative process in terms of what you're doing? Because what you're doing is also creative. It's just, I would say, different than the narrative side. So
yeah,
what is your process?
I would say super different.
Yeah.
I've got great partners on all the projects. Mm-hmm. And so my personal process is I said, hi Michael. He's who does all of our Bible studies back
What's
there.
Up,
our publisher
Michael?
That does our studies. For me personally, it is birthed out of my time with the Lord because I am not creative.
Amen.
So I am a communicator of things, ideas.
Yes.
I can communicate well. Not according to that sentence, but normally I communicate fairly well. And so I spend time with the Lord, and it comes out of that. So if I'm not spending time with the Lord, mm-hmm. It's like tumbleweeds roll through my head. Mm-hmm. That's how creative mm-hmm. I am without intervention.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have partners, and then we collaborate, and because it's so much writing. I mean, we're putting out about, we're averaging about 3 books a year,
mm-hmm.
books, plus other things that I don't do. But the writing itself, we're putting about 3 a year. And so our partners, we collaborate, and we bring it all in, and we've got four partners now that have contributed to the books that we have, and it's just, I think that helps.
Yeah.
If I have any creativity in me to have to go from project to project to project, keeps me on top of it. But it really is birthed out of time with the Lord, pretty much for all of us. It's a different kind of inspiration you're getting. It really is Holy Spirit led and dictated, really.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you get, this is the couple chapters we're covering in this season, and then you go into your own time with the Lord, you sit with the scriptures, and then you're just kind of like trying to get guidance from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Is that fair? And then you go to writing, or do you go into brainstorming and collaborating with some other people in the process?
You're in the weeds a little, but I would say it depends on the partnership. And
okay.
So my devotional, Kristen Hendricks, we separate for 6 months
mm-hmm.
and we come together and we're like, what did God say to you? What did God say to you? And then we fold them in.
Yeah.
Like I literally sit with them out on the floor in front of me and I look at what the order is going to be.
Yeah.
I don't micromanage her at all. Other writing than we, you know, Jeremiah Smith did our teen study that's coming out next year. He wrote a lot of it, and then he passed it on to me,
mm-hmm.
and then it became mine. And now I'm writing through what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
and so that was kind of different time.
Yes.
At different times, we were on the content, and so it just depends on the partnership. But all of it, everyone would say it is literally birthed out of just. I mean, physically, it looks like this.
Yeah.
You know, like waiting, listening. I mean, you just, and being a little silly about it, but that is really, truly what it is.
That's beautiful. I wanted people to know your heart and a little bit about the process. My last question to you is, you guys have been parenting for 22 years. Sometimes some of the best things are birthed out of problems we want to solve for ourselves first, right? And your kids are kids, Gen Z. Right. What would your heart be for the next generation, and what dreams do you have in terms of how you can leverage some of what you're doing through discipleship for the Gen Z and the 18 to whatever Gen Z is, 25?
Yeah, I mean, man, I feel so like mired in parenting, especially this age right now, because as all like the moms would say to me when they were little and I was so tired, they'd be like, that only gets harder. And I just didn't understand. First of all, I don't think that's very encouraging. But then second of all, I was like, that cannot be true, because you're so physically tired as a young mom. But then when your kids are getting older and they're battling the culture and they're battling mm-hmm. their own issues of faith and they're mm-hmm. battling different broken heart crises, whatever it is that they do, it's so hard. It's so hard to not just be able to fix it for mm-hmm. your kids, and not just be able to like download all the stuff that you know from having been through all the pain. And so I feel like we're really in that phase right now, kind of barely see through it. Mm-hmm. But what I am, my heart for that generation is so strongly that they, which is true for everybody, but especially this generation, is that they would know who they are according to Jesus.
Come on.
According to how he defines that and how scripture defines that, because it is so broken. Mm-hmm. The culture is so broken. And my own kids who've heard the truth since they were mm-hmm. little are still battling these things in such real ways. And so I feel like identity is my kind of my thing for that generation, and where I'm drilling down with my own children and the, some of the themes of what we're writing and doing. And I do think that when everything else is stripped away, even through the show itself, is that that is that face to face with Jesus and that visual that you get in the show, it goes right to the heart of identity and his love for you as the individual and that intimacy. So I do feel kind of on fire to go after that generation in that way with that specific like aim.
I love that. Wow. Amanda Jenkins, ladies and gentlemen.
We see, according to the Bible, that prayer is extremely important in terms of us being transformed from the inside out when we get aligned with God's will. For the Christians watching this channel, I want you guys to implement these spiritual disciplines in your day-to-day life. And the only way I've been able to do this consistently is through writing down my prayers in a prayer journal that does a few things. One, it allows me to reflect and come to God humbly and ask him to move on my behalf. And two, it allows me to document my prayers, which ultimately helped me remember the very things that I was praying for and see the hand of God tangibly in my life when he answers them. So I would urge you, consider writing down your prayers. It could be in a blank notebook. It could even be on your phone. Or you could check out the one I personally designed and used for my own quiet time and spiritual discipline that I think will be a huge blessing. It's the exact structure and system that I've used for years to pray and be more consistent in my spiritual disciplines. You can pick yours up today by clicking the link in the pinned comment below. All right, I'll see you over there. Peace.